The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 6, Scene 4. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. We're actually moving outside of our local purview of professional theater today, and we're going to talk to somebody about a show at VCU, because it's one of the few things that's happening in town, and it's kind of exciting because it's a live-ish play. Anyway, I've got with me Dori Barton, who is on the adjunct faculty at VCU. She teaches primarily acting for camera. Welcome to Curtain Call, Dori.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So first of all, tell us about this show called She Kills Monsters.
She Kills Monsters is a traditional hero's journey that has several things built on top of it. And so the journey is in the form of a D&D game.
And Dragons it's large, and Dungeons for those who
don't know. Yeah, Dungeons and Dragons, right. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it takes the form of a Dungeons and Dragons game that's based off of a story that a sister wrote in her secret diary, I guess, before she died. And her sister finds it. And in order to get to know her better, she embarks on this D&D adventure. And so she does get to know her sister better, and she gets to know her sister's friends that she played the game with. And she does indeed kill a monster.
Great. As I understand it, this was actually created for Zoom. This is not actually supposed to be a stage play. Is that correct, or am I wrong on that?
It was originally a stage play, and VCU was going to be doing that this fall, but I believe it was fairly early on. Ki Nguyen, the playwright of She Kills Monsters, recognized what was going on in the world and knew that Zoom theater, A, wasn't going anywhere, and B, needed content. And so he did an adaptation of his play specifically to be performed on a video conferencing platform.
Cool. So it was created for Zoom from a live show, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
What was the process like working with students? I'm sure you probably had to do a lot of it virtually. What was that process like putting it together?
It ended up being extremely complicated.
I'm sure.
But extremely gratifying. So much of theater and film, we do it together. We do it in person. And so much of it, to me, is energy work. You know, the work between performers, the work between the audience and the actors, and the work between the director and actors. So to have this sort of like wall of, you know, impenetrable glass between us, you know, it's very interesting to try to sort of connect with each other despite this, and then find ways that we can connect because of this.
Well, what is the process? Because I know that like some of the more upscale productions now, they ship out green screens and halo lights so that everybody can look consistent. Were you able to do that? And was every student just having to deal with what they had at home and whatever their computer was, whether it was fast or slow?
But yeah, we put together a package, like a kit that basically made a home studio for everyone. So, you know, or many of them had a green screen. Not everybody used green screen. You know, lav mic, lights, a power strip, you know, like anything that we thought that they would need. So everyone built their own home studio out of what we sent them. But of course, computers, computer speed, internet connection. Yeah, we just had a lot of technical challenges that made it really kind of tiring.
When it's going to be presented, and it's going to be presented coming up very soon, is it going to be presented streaming live with all these students, or is this going to be a pre-recorded version of a live recording? How's that going to work?
It will stream live in the sense that it starts at a certain time, like a piece of theater, and it does not stop until it's over, and you cannot watch it again. So in those ways, it's very much like a play. So we're sort of catching lightning in a bottle in that sense. The performances are all recorded. We didn't want to leave any of it live because we didn't want to rely on all of that working. And I'm so glad that we made that decision early on. And I'm very, very glad that we made that decision.
Right. Now, you mentioned green screen. Does that mean there was a set designer involved?
Yeah. So one of the fascinating parts of this is that all of the departments that the artists typically work in theater had a sort of transference of what their jobs were.
Oh, it's not in 3D anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Trying to wrap everyone's mind around the fact that it's a two-dimensional art form was interesting. That was very challenging. So costumes are still costumes, but the scenic department, what they are delivering is basically a packet of two-dimensional information that's these beautiful illustrations of the scenic worlds that gives the illusion of perspective and dimensionality. But yes, it's two-dimensional art.
So you are one of three people who's actually been co-directing this production, along with Sharon Ott, who's the chair of the VCU Arts Theater, and Wes Seals, who has been directing in town a little bit. How did you split up that responsibility?
It was a really interesting thing for all of us to essentially both work on everything, and each of us have our own lanes at the same time.
Okay. Well, now let me ask you this. When you're directing a performance, were all three of you online with that actor, or was it just, did y'all take turns with different actors?
Often in rehearsals, it would be all three of us. But for the most part, the primary division happens in that Sharon and Wes did most of the rehearsal work on like character and story. And that was happening while I was organizing all the technical aspects of it. And then once it was time to film the work, then it sort of kicked down to me. So I was given scenes that had already been rehearsed. So it was my job to sort of fine tune them, block them for camera, and execute the actual filming or recording of the scenes.
And speaking of that, that's a perfect segue, Dory, into your background, because I know you are a filmmaker. You actually had a movie called Girl Flu, which is now in my watch list on Amazon. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, which did very well. Tell us briefly about that. And then I also want you to mention Welcome to the Show, which is something you created just for VCU students.
Girl Flu, yes. It went on a wonderful festival circuit, many, many festivals around the world, which was so amazing to me. That was my primary intention in making that film, was to reach out to as many people as possible. It's about a young girl and her mother. And
I think you played the mother, didn't you?
No.
Oh, no, that's not you. There's a blonde woman in the trailer, so I just thought that's not you.
I think that's the beautiful Katie Sackhoff.
Okay.
Yeah, but yes, we are both
beautiful blondes. Okay.
Sure, I'll take it. No, she's an amazing actor. I had an amazing cast on that. That was my first film. And I would have to say that in a roundabout way, it kind of led me here. And that one of the things that I learned from going to all those festivals all around the country was that you can make films anywhere. And I had lived and worked in Los Angeles for 29 years. And it was very inspiring to me to meet people from all over the country that were, you know, getting up and making movies every day. And
So
last year I shot my second feature, and it was my first year teaching at VCU. And I had amazing actors in my acting for the camera classes. And so there was a small group of them. I had been working on the idea for the story, so I'd had it kind of marinating for some time. But when I met these students, I knew that that was the right fit. So yeah, I made it specifically for them. I think the film has, it's almost 40 VCU actors.
Wow.
And it's almost 40 locations all over Richmond.
And now where is that? Somewhere people can see it? Is it streaming, or is it available to see? Or
I am still wrapping up post-production. So I'm still in the final phases of getting it done. And then we will see.
There's been lots of great information. And I just wanted to see if there's anything else you wanted to say in wrapping up here before we move on.
I'm really so proud of all of the actors that were in this and all of the artists that contributed to this, all of the designers. It was a huge mental leap to switch to this hybrid art form, and they all did it with such grace and commitment, and I think all of their art really, really shines in this. So I'm excited that so many people will be able to get to see them.
Great. Well, it's been great to see you here on Zoom. Obviously, the audience is only hearing you, but I have been talking with Dory Barton, who is one of the three co-directors of She Kills Monsters, which will be playing virtually via VCU Arts Theater. Thanks, Dory. It's been great to chat with you.
You too, Jerry. Thank you so much.
I know we promised something else this week, but this show opens on October 28th, so we wanted to feature it now. If you'd like to get some information on how to get tickets to watch She Kills Monsters, the best way is to just Google VCU Theater and scroll down to the ticket link. We will be hearing about Swift Creek Mill and the recovery from the big flood, and from Kat about losing their home after 56 years, coming up on the next two Curtain Calls. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter. Thanks for listening.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org